Well, hey there, you are listening to the Gateway Tipton podcast. When you choose to follow Jesus, you are accepting a call to care about the world. And that's the idea behind today's message. Steve is at the Atoka campus with the next message in our series, Plumb Lines. The call to follow Jesus is a call to the nations. So, let's get started. Hey, I'm Kelly. Thanks for tuning in. If it's your first time, you should know that we publish new episodes pretty much every week for those that want to hear a message they missed, listen again, or even share it with a friend. For more information about Gateway or to view show notes, visit gatewaytipton.com. Now, here's the message.
Every so often, it is important for a church to remind itself what it's really all about. And because of that, sometimes there are messages or series of messages that I need to go through that are talking to the church body, right? And so if you're a guest with us and you've been here over the last several weeks, you have been experiencing a series of messages where I'm talking to the church. And that's the way the Plumb Line series has been. We're talking about what the church really needs to look like. What are the things that keep us straight as a church? What allow us to build a solid foundation? And so the plumb lines are just biblical statements that help us as a church stay straight and do the things that God has for us to do. And so we've covered three of them already. The first one was the church is measured by what we do once we leave the building. And so that's the idea. We don't want to stay in a huddle all the time, that ultimately we are to go out and run the play, right? So we want to focus on what happens outside the doors. Number two, every member is a minister. That just means that the ministry is designed for all of us. It's not just reserved for a few staff members and missionaries and super spiritual people, but we are all to be involved in the ministry. The third one was last week, the gospel alone produces the passion that sustains the mission. That just means that nothing, no external motivations are ever going to really ultimately motivate us to be on mission for Christ, but it is what has happened in our hearts, the truth of the gospel and the change that's in us that ultimately pushes us out into the world to do what God's called us to do. And then today, the fourth plumb line is this: the call to follow Jesus is a call to the nations. Now, what does that mean? It simply means that when you choose to be a follower of Jesus, you are also accepting a call to care about the world. Literally, to go to all nations with the gospel. And we get that idea from Jesus in the Great Commission, which is in Matthew chapter 28. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at that famous passage of Scripture. And let me just say that Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that is the mission of the church. Churches don't need to look for a separate mission because it's right there. Jesus gave it to us. Churches don't need a different mission statement than what we've already been given by Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So let's take a look at it. Jesus is gathered with his disciples here, and he says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we are, according to Jesus, to make followers of him in all of the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe the things that he has taught. And so for us, this plumb line is a reminder for us that it's not just a local mission. And it's not just an American mission that we are called to, but indeed it is a global mission. It's a global thing. The words that are used there for all the nations, in the Greek language, it's really the words pentata ethne. And what it literally means, it means every group of people that are bound by one language or one culture. And so when he says all the nations there, he's not just referring to national boundary lines on a map. He is referring to any people group bound by one language or by one culture, and to them we are supposed to take the gospel. We have literally been told to take it to every tongue, tribe, and nation. And so it is a reminder for us, Jesus' words here are a reminder that he went to the cross for every tribe and every nation and every people group and every culture. And so if there is one of those nations, people groups, or cultures that does not know, we are to go and to tell them. It's a reminder that he shed his blood for people of every language. And if there is one that does not know about him, then we should go tell them. Jesus has ransomed people from every culture, every color, every nation, every ethnicity. And so if there is one that has not heard, then they need to know. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this statement. There is not a single group of people that exists for which Christ did not die. There isn't a single group of people that exists for whom Christ did not die. Now, guys, that ought to be the death blow to racism right there. Christ died for everyone. It doesn't end where we live. In fact, the truth of the matter is, missiologists tell us that there are over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world today. That means there are 7,000 people, 7,000 groups that are bound by one language or bound by one culture that either have very little gospel witness in them or none whatsoever. And what I thought was amazing about that is that some of our folks right now that are on mission overseas and some of the places that Gateway will go in the years to come are very, very close to contacting some of those unreached people groups. Isn't that an amazing thing that we could be involved in something like that? But today I want to look specifically at the question of why. Why should we love the nations and why should we take some role in getting the gospel to the ends of the earth? I'm going to give you three reasons this morning why we should be involved in taking the gospel to the nations. Number one, because the mission is certain. The mission is certain. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's not that we are to do this mission just so that it can be accomplished, but because we know that it will be accomplished, that it is a certainty. God's not begging us to do this work because he desperately needs us. Let me give you a rude awakening today, okay? God does not need you. Did you know that? And God does not need me, but he wants us, desires us to take part in this mission that is one day going to be accomplished. So, Brother Steve, how do you know that this mission is going to one day be accomplished? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. It's the last book in the Bible. If you get to the maps, you've gone too far. Revelation 7. And I'm going to read right now just verses 9 through 12. The setting here is John's vision of the end times, right? Revelation 7, 9 through 12. And just look. John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.'" John witnesses that, right? That's a breathtaking passage of Scripture. And we see there that at the end of the age, all tribes, all languages of the world will be together singing the praises of Jesus. Guys, not just one language, not just one race. In fact, it says here that not one will be missing. That every people group is there, is going to be there one day. See, this passage that I just read is not the hopes of the Apostle John that it's going to be that way one day. It's not a sentimental thought, right, about maybe this will happen one day. The book of Revelation is a prophecy about what it will be like one day in heaven. As one day, every tribe, every nation, those of every color, every race and culture will stand together side by side, arm in arm, and will give praise to the Lord. Well, why should that fact motivate us? That the fact that it's going to happen, the fact that it is certain, why should that motivate us? Guys, listen, God designed every one of us to want to be part of things that really matter. You know, as I look out across this congregation today, I'm pretty sure that there's nobody in this room that would stand up and say, what I really want to do is waste my life. What I really want to do is to live out my life and it not count for anything. You see, God has made us differently than that. He has made us to want to be a part of something bigger than we are. None of us in this room want to waste our lives. The one life that we have been given, we don't want to give that away to something that does not matter. Amen? And the Great Commission here in Revelation chapter 7, in it, God is saying, here is something that is eternally significant. Here is something that matters. Here is something that is going to live on, and it's going to live on forever and ever. It's eternal, and it is worth pouring out your life for it. Nothing can thwart it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can derail it, because I am going to do it. Because one day everybody's going to stand around that throne from every nation and give praise to God. And if you would give your life to it, if I would give my life to it, we would be doing something that would echo through the halls of eternity. We would be doing something that would cause our life to matter. Listen, if you would give your life and time in this life to working to help gather people from every tongue and tribe to Jesus so that he would be praised and worshiped by all, then you have not wasted a moment of your life. Amen. That's why the fact that it's certain ought to motivate us. Out of all the missions and plans that people give their lives to in this world, careers, money, family, whatever, this is the only one that is sure to be accomplished. Everything else can fall apart. Everything else can disappoint. But giving your life to this will never disappoint. Why? Because it is most certainly going to happen. And that ought to motivate us to love the nations like Jesus does. So why? Number one, the mission is certain. You can give your life to something that matters. Number two, second thing, why do we love the nations? Why take the gospel to the nations? Because this mission completes our joy. This mission completes our joy. Well, again, what does that mean? Well, I want you to think for a moment about the most wonderful thing that you've ever experienced. And I want you to think about all the joy, right, that came with that. And when that event happens, what's the first thing that you want to do? I want to tell somebody, right? I want to tell somebody about it. When I found out that the Breakfast Cove was about to open... Man, you want to know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go tell my staff so that we could have staff meeting at the Breakfast Cove, right? When something like, oh, by the way, this is an aside. I'm coming back, okay? There are neighbors, okay? And a lot of you guys, when church is over on Sundays maybe or on Wednesday nights or whatever, you're going to go to the Breakfast Cove and you're going to eat over there and they're going to know, number one, that you're a Christian because you've been at church, and they're going to know, number two, that you're from Gateway. And so what I want to encourage you to do, did you guys know that waiters and waitresses cannot stand the church crowd after church? You know why? Because we tend to be rude and we don't tip. Now look, I'm telling you, as representatives of Jesus Christ and as representatives of Gateway Baptist Church, if you go to the breakfast anywhere, but if you, especially the Breakfast Cove, all right, if you go over there and you have lunch or breakfast over there, and if you're not going to tip, don't wear a Gateway shirt, for one thing, all right? Second thing, go over there and let's be good neighbors. Let's be witnesses to Jesus Christ, okay, in everything that we do. We get an opportunity to do that with some new neighbors who, by the way, just might take the gospel to the nations one day, okay? So let's do right there. But anyway, when it opened up, I was like, man, I need to tell somebody. Well, why are we like that? We're like that because God made us in such a way that when we experience something awesome, we want to share it with somebody else. And that completes the joy of it. Can you imagine a young lady who's just been engaged? And she's got that big rock on her hand, and she's just said yes, and she's so excited, you know. Can you imagine her saying, well, I guess I'll have to tell somebody. Well, I guess I need to call mom, let her know. We cannot imagine that, right, because she would want to tell somebody immediately. The truth is, if you can't tell someone when something like that happens, it robs your joy, right? It cuts it short. See, God created us so that the sharing of the good news increases and completes our joy. Now, do you see the application here? God never meant the Great Commission, the sharing of the gospel, to be a burden for us. See, the idea is that we share it because it's good news, and He asks us to share it knowing that as we do, we will experience joy. You know, we've talked about some happy things already this morning, a baby being born, a disease healed, an engagement that happens. But did you know that as a believer, that the most amazing, most wonderful thing that could ever happen has happened to you? You've gone from death to life. You have experienced, as a believer in Christ, the grace and the forgiveness and the love of God toward you. You have waiting for you a heavenly home and a heavenly inheritance because of what Christ has done for you. We ought to want to tell somebody about that, amen? And if we would, it would bring great joy. It would complete our joy. If we share it with the nations, it'll bring joy. You know, I have a chance a lot in my position to have the joy of sharing the gospel some. And I'm thankful for that. I get to share it from up here and sometimes at other times, and maybe you do too. You know, it's a wonderful thing to share the gospel here, but I remember the first time that I was able to go overseas and represent the Lord Jesus somewhere else other than in my own place, in my own nation. And I can't really explain it to you. I can't really tell you, but there was a special joy about doing that outside of my own culture and outside of my own language, my feeble attempts like a little child to communicate, right, the language. There was something special about that, and I believe because going to the nation completes our joy. It just completes it, going to the nations. I'm not saying that missionaries that go to the nations are always full of joy. Would you think that they are? Probably not. You know, many of us don't ever think about the hardships involved with people that have taken the gospel with their life to the nations. Even those that go on short-term mission trips, it may not always be joyful experiences. You know, when you can't share or say what you want to, when you feel like a little child trying to communicate because the language barrier is so great. Can you imagine working with a group of people or among a people that would just as soon kill you as listen to you? Can you imagine all the cultural changes, all the poverty involved and sacrifice involved for families that might choose to try to minister in a different culture? You would say, well, it seems like joy would be elusive in situations like that. And certainly joy as we go to the nations is not always going to be found in circumstances. But if you remember in the Great Commission, Jesus ended it by saying, I am with you always. And guys, as you share the gospel, no matter where that is, that's where the joy is. That's where we cling to. It's where joy can always be found in the end. So Jesus told his followers, he said, you guys go, I'm going to go with you. You know, he didn't say, guys, y'all go to all the nations and I'm going to stay here, did he? He said, you go and I'm going to be with you. And the invitation to us is to go where he is already going to be, and that is among the nations. He will be at work wherever we go, drawing people to himself as we share in joy this great news. And it is in his presence, right? The Bible says, where we find fullness of joy, where we find Him, that He is with us. We have Him. The Lord is never going to lead you anywhere where He is not. Amen? I heard a statement this week and it really convicted me and I thought it was great. It said, if you really want to be with Jesus, stop trying to get Him where you are and go where He is already working. Did you hear that? You know, if you don't feel close to God, could it be that we are trying often to accomplish our own mission, our own goals, when He really is elsewhere working on His mission and we're just doing our thing? Maybe we should stop asking Him to join us and accept His invitation to join Him. Amen. Wow. Important application that I want to make, and then we're going to hit number three. Here's the application. You cannot stay where you are and make disciples. Jesus said, did He say, stay where you are and make disciples? He said, go therefore, didn't He? And in one sense or another, we all have to go. We can't stay in our comfort zones and make disciples. We can't stay in our own security, in our own privacy, and make disciples. And so whether it's across the street or across the ocean, we are called to go. You cannot stay where you are and obey God and make disciples. There's always a place and a way that we have to go. And I want to ask you this morning, before we get to number three, to make some commitments along with me for the coming year. Commitment number one is this: would you consider making plans to go on a short-term mission trip this year? There's some of you, you've always wanted to go. You've prayed about it. You've thought about it. I want to ask you this year to make a commitment to go. When you guys leave today, there's a little card at the Next Steps desk. It looks like there's actually a magnet. You can put it on your refrigerator. Listed on there, all of Gateway's mission trips for next year. Okay? I think there's about 7 or 8 of them. They're in the States, they're overseas, and I want to ask you to begin considering now commitment number one. I want to go on a short-term mission trip this year. Commitment number two is, if you cannot go for some reason, begin to make plans to give so that someone else might be able to go. And so I would encourage you, whichever one of those two commitments you make today, to start saving your money. If there's a young family and maybe finances are tight, but you'd like to go on a mission trip, I want to encourage you, start saving your money now to do that if it really matters, if you want to do it. I would say take one night a week when you would ordinarily go out to eat with your family. Stay at home and have ramen noodle night at home, right? Put that money in the jar. Do that every week. Maybe God will somehow make that a nutritious meal for you. Bless it, you know, make it nutritious, whatever. But begin to think of ways to save money that you might go, or that you might support others as they go. And so the mission is certain, and the mission completes our joy. And then number three, why do we go to the nations? Number three, because Jesus is worthy. Because Jesus is worthy. We learn here in Revelation that Christ is worthy to receive worship from every nation, tribe, and people group. We love the nations because of the value of Jesus' sacrifice. The value of His blood isn't just worth the praise of some nations. It's not just worth the praise of some tribes, of some languages, but of every tribe, of every nation, and of every language. I want you, if you're still in Revelation, go back to chapter 5. Well, the Bible teaches that one day there's going to be a new song that's sung in heaven. And this song is about something amazing. And the people that sing it are from every tribe and nation. And I want you to look, Revelation 5, starting in verse 9. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Wow. That's the song, listen, that they all sang. Jesus' blood purchased people, ransomed people from every tribe, every people, and every nation, sang a song. We'll sing a song in heaven about the preciousness and the value of the blood of Jesus. Listen, not to just purchase some, but from every group, every culture, every color, every tribe. Jesus purchased people with his blood from every nation, from every tribe. And the Bible says in heaven one day, everybody's going to gather around this throne and they're going to sing a brand new song. And you know what that brand new song is going to be about is the value of the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus that saved them. Is he worthy? Guys, that's why racism is so evil. Because it goes against the purpose of God to unite all people. You know, this world that we live in today, wouldn't you just love it if people would just stop hating each other? You know, the world would love to see people just stop hating each other. But I want y'all to hear something this morning. Christianity has an even greater hope than that. An even greater picture than just us not hating each other or learning to tolerate each other. Christianity has a better ending, and that ending is this, is that people of every color would one day sing one song, would one day be united under one king, that would love each other, not just as people in the world, but as brothers and sisters in Jesus, worshiping him together with one song. And the song that they sang was all about the worthiness of the Savior. See, the level to which we understand how valuable the sacrifice is, the level to which we understand how precious his blood is, will always determine how far we will go with the gospel. Now, I don't know if you heard that, but that's heavy. If we believe his blood is valuable enough to purchase people of every nation, then we will seek to reach every nation. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of receiving glory and honor and praise from every nation. If one group is missing, his praise is incomplete. So we must go because he's worthy. On top of a mountain in Galilee, Jesus gathered his men up. There's 11 of them. Judas was gone now. And he gathered them up to spend what were his last moments with them on the earth. In a very few moments, Jesus was going to go home, back to the Father, where he would sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he would reign forever and intercede for us for all of eternity. Before that happened, he sat down with his closest companions, his best friends, men that he had spent literally almost every day with for 3 years. He told them over and over again in the days past that he was going to be killed and then resurrected. But I don't know about you, but I don't think they really understood it till it all happened. And now here they are, they're face to face with him. He's right there in front of him. Everything that he had said would happen had happened. These men had seen the beatings. The crucifixion had taken place. They knew about the blood that he had shed on the cross. They knew about the nails that had been driven into his hands and feet. They knew how at the end of all of that, he had turned his face toward heaven and said, "It is finished," and given up his spirit to the Father. And they knew that at that moment, everything broke loose. The Bible says the earth began to shake. There were earthquakes, graves were open, the veil in the temple that represented the separation between God and man was torn from the top to the bottom, and they knew perhaps even that the Roman soldier that stood at the foot of the cross looked up at that man when the sky went dark and said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." They saw the dead body. They themselves saw the empty tomb. And they knew that he had conquered death just like he said he would. And I think it is at this last moment with Jesus, man, it's just hitting them. He's right here with us for Pete's sake, God in the flesh. Everything he said was going to happen, happened. And here he is. And he turns to them. And he starts talking. in the book of Luke, I want you to listen to what he told them. Luke 24, 46, you don't have to turn there. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So what did those guys do? Well, they did the only thing they could do. They went. They went down that mountain, and eventually they went everywhere God told them to go. What else could they do, right? They knew exactly who he was, and they knew that he was worthy of the praise of every nation. They knew that he was worthy of the rest of their days and the best of their days. Every last breath that they would ever breathe, they knew he was worthy of. Now, guys, listen. We are witnesses of the Savior, too. We have seen the change that has come into our lives as a result of his grace and his forgiveness. We have experienced the power of the resurrection. We have watched transformation from death to life in our own lives. We felt the grace and the forgiveness of our sins. What else can we do but to go? There were two questions that those men had to answer. It's the same questions that we have to answer. Question number one, is Jesus who he said he was? And do I believe that? Do I believe today that he is God in the flesh, that he is the Messiah, that it was God's plan to send him as a sacrifice to deal with my sin, and he is alive today? So question number one, do I believe that he is who he said he was? Question number two, if I believe that, second question, is he worthy of me giving him my everything? Is he worthy of my surrender? Is he worthy of me saying to him, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. Is he worthy of that? If you believe those two things, you cannot simply sit in a chair in a church the rest of your life and then die. Because we've got a mission. And we got to go across the cubicle. And we got to go across the street. And we got to go across the classroom. And we got to go across the county. We've got to go across the nation. And we got to go across the ocean until every nation has heard. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much today for your word. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present with us today. And Father, I pray this morning that as individuals and as a church, that we would be willing to pray that simple prayer. Jesus, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours because I believe you are who you say you are, and I believe you are worthy of my surrender. Father, in our time of invitation today, would you help us today to make the decisions that we need to make to be in the center of your will, to walk with you faithfully, to trust you deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the invitation this morning is really simple. Might be somebody that would need to come and say, Brother Steve, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. What I'm ready to do today is to turn away from a sinful, selfish life and turn to the only one that has ever dealt with my sin. And that was Jesus 2,000 years ago on the cross. I know he died for me and I know he lives. And today I want to receive him as my Savior. I want to surrender to him today. Might be some others today. You might need to take the step of joining with a faith family like Gateway so that together we can go to the nations. Maybe you need a church home. Maybe you've been through our starting gate process. You need to come on and take that step of membership here. We can do that in just a moment. Or maybe there are many of us today that would need to make the commitments that I spoke of earlier. I'm going to finally obey God and go on that mission trip He's been asking me to go on. Or I'm going to figure out a way to support somebody who God's calling out to go. Or I'm going to spend my time praying for every single one of these trips. I'm going to be a prayer warrior for all of these. But today, would your commitment be, I'm going to find some way to be a part of the gospel going to the nations. Okay? So would you just stand with me? I'm going to be down front today. If you need to speak with me, Connor will be down here with me. If there's a public decisions that you need to make, if you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes right now. Drew's just going to play for our invitation today. So just be obedient to the Lord this morning. Silence of these moments, you would just pray along with me. Let's just pray that prayer together. Don't say it out loud, just in your heart, okay? If you mean it, just pray this. Jesus, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. Could you pray that today and mean it? It's a frightening prayer, isn't it? But He'll go with you wherever He leads you. Father, thank You today for decisions that are being made all across this room. Well, thank You for calling Your people out to be Your witnesses, Lord. I thank You for a church that cares about the world. I thank You for a church that cares about those that desperately need You. Lord, may that only grow in our hearts. Father, in a moment as we begin the time of giving, Lord, help us to give for that purpose and that reason, that Your name would be made famous all over this world. And Lord, that those that do not know You would hear the gospel and come to faith in You. So we want to give cheerfully and joyfully today to that purpose and to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are ready to take your next step with the Lord, we would love to connect with you in person or even on social media. We're Gateway Tipton on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.